I have often wondered if I'd be able to travel to a different city on my own. Even practice for it over the summer when I went to New York City a couple of times with some family members. In this episode of the I Can't See You podcast, I'll tell you about two recent journeys I did on my own.
From Studio C, welcome to the I Can't See You podcast with David. He can't see, but he's got a lot to say and a face for radio.
Hello and welcome to episode 6 of the I Can't See You podcast. I am David. Connect with me on all the socials at David Benj. Twitter is my social of choice, so try me there first. Now, when I say that I want to travel somewhere on my own, I'm not just talking about hopping the train and running into Center City, Philadelphia, which I've done pretty often on my own. In fact, I even took classes in Philadelphia back when I was a kid. And when I say kid, I was around 20. That's a kid today, right? I'm talking about going to a different city, one where there's required changes of transportation on the way and things like that. So over the summer, went to a couple of events in New York City, a city where my daughter goes to school. And Jane had some interviews set up for an internship in August, so we tried one mode of getting there when she had those interviews. And we went to Affiliate Summit at a different time, and we took a different mode of transportation. One time we took New Jersey Transit and SEPTA, and I liked going on the train, and that was great, except for the fact that it was around 3.5 to 4 hours between the changing of the train several times and the waiting in between the changes. So I thought that was too long for a one-day journey into New York City. So the other time we tried taking the bus, and instead of taking Megabus, we took Greyhound. Megabus, where it leaves you in New York, is basically at the side of the street, which is, I think, how it operates just about in any city. And just like in Philadelphia, where you catch it near 30th Street Station. But if the weather is bad, you're basically standing outside and you're in the elements until the bus gets there or until you board the bus. Greyhound, on the other hand, has a terminal in Philadelphia, has a great terminal in New York City. And in New York City especially, you can easily jump on any of the subway lines that run through Port Authority right there in Midtown Manhattan. So the two journeys that I took, one was into New York City and one was to State College, Pennsylvania. Now, the one to State College, Pennsylvania, I did take Megabus because Megabus was the easiest route there. I just had to go to 30th Street Station. And in this case, Liz was able to take me and drop me off at the Megabus. And I caught the Megabus and went straight to State College. Obviously, there were some stops along the way in Harrisburg and one or two others. I don't remember where they were. Now, I took the Megabus to State College because the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania held their state convention there this year. And while I consider that a journey to another city, I was on the bus with several other blind folks who were members of the NFB. And it wasn't really on my own because I talked to these people on the bus. I talked to them once we got off the bus. The transportation from where Megabus leaves you off in the middle of a parking lot to our hotel was all set up for us, and it was very easy to do. Now, while in State College, I did take a couple of minutes away from the convention, and if any of you are familiar with State College, Penn State University is there, and more importantly, Penn State University Creamery is there, where they make this awesome ice cream, and so I had to go there. And so I did take an Uber there on one of the days that I was in State College. Now, I later found out that I could have easily walked a block from the hotel and taken a bus and gotten dropped off right in front of the creamery where I could have gotten my ice cream, which, by the way, is delicious. And for a little more than $4, you get this huge cup of ice cream, but I'll save that for some sort of food show if I do one down the line. And then as far as coming back from State College, again, it was one of those things where there aren't many choices, even with Megabus. In fact, again, Megabus is really the only choice directly from State College into Philadelphia. And on the Sunday at the end of the convention, there were three choices of megabus transportation journeys home. One was at 7 or 8 in the morning, which wasn't going to happen because there were events happening Sunday morning. One was at around noon, and then one was much later in the day, 7 or so o'clock later that day. So obviously, most of us who were coming home via megabus took the one that left at noon. So again, transportation from the hotel to the megabus was very easy. Then we all got on the bus and talked on the way home and so forth and so on. So again, while I journeyed there on my own, I didn't really feel like it was a trip that I was really concerned with. State College obviously isn't a huge city, so I wasn't too concerned there. And it was great that I did it on my own, but I didn't really count it as something that I even worried about before I left. A few days later, I had found out there was an event in New York City at the public library right on 5th. And if any of you have seen the movie Day After Tomorrow, you'll know the library because there's a good chunk of the movie shot in and around the library. So I had decided I was going to go to this event. And I had told Jane to see if she was available anytime that day so we could maybe connect and either have lunch or have dinner. And it turned out she had tickets to go to see Jimmy Fallon earlier that day. So I thought this was great because she had offered to meet me at the bus and get me to the library before she went to Jimmy Fallon. And I really wanted to do it on my own. And, you know, so I thanked her and I said, why don't we just connect after each of our events were over and then we could go and have dinner. And so that's basically what we did. I went to New York, did the event. She met up with me about an hour after my event was done and after Jimmy Fallon was done. And we then walked around the Winter Village right there next to the library, which is very cool. And if you have a chance to get to that, right there, right next to the New York Public Library, and that was a cool thing to do. It wasn't as great as the one in Hyde Park in London that we did last year around this time, but it was still very cool. But getting to New York, I decided to do Greyhound again because there was only one change. I left from the train station in Swarthmore via SEPTA, which is the regional rails, and went to Jefferson Station here in Philadelphia. And right across the street from Jefferson Station is the Greyhound bus terminal. So I basically walked across the street and got on the bus. And again, when you can't see, you know, you do have to find people to help you to say, you know, I don't want to get on the bus to Albuquerque. I want to get on the one to New York. And people are usually pretty helpful, especially the folks that work for Greyhound or SEPTA or whatnot. As far as even taking me to, you know, instead of just saying, go here and, you know, you'll walk up some stairs and then you'll cross the street and you'll be there. One person at SEPTA, and again, SEPTA employees have really been helpful over the years when I ask a question, are often willing to take me as opposed to just tell me how to go. And again, I can't express enough how helpful they've been, not just with this, but with, you know, a lot of trips when I go into Philadelphia and whatnot. So when I got off the train at Jefferson Station, I had found my way to the exit of the turnstiles inside Jefferson Station. And I know there's always SEPTA employees there. And I asked, I said, you know, I make a left here and go all the way down to go to the Greyhound terminal, right? And she said, yeah, just go all the way down. There's a wall down there. Once you get to that wall, you go to the left. And so I walked down and it was a pretty far walk. So when I got where I thought I was close to the wall, I heard some other SEPTA employees talking and I asked, and one of the ladies said, oh, come on, I'll take you. I said, no, I can go. Just tell me, am I going the right way? And she said, no, come on, I'll take you. And so we went to the escalator. We went up the escalator. We went to the doors. And again, while we're doing this, I'm paying attention because obviously I'm going to have to come back this way when I come home. And that's very important that you pay attention to how you're going if you're going to be coming back the same way, because it makes it a lot easier and you kind of get a better feel for it. And again, once you do it a couple of times, you'll get it down pat. So the woman even exited the train station with me and walked me to the curb. She's like, okay, you know, step down onto the street. I said, am I going to be jaywalking here? She said, yeah, but there's nothing coming. Go ahead, walk across the street. You'll see some steps over there. You'll feel some steps over there. And that's where you go in. And so I was able to do that. And I got inside the Greyhound terminal. And once inside the Greyhound terminal, I kind of remembered where there was a help desk somewhere in there. And I found that just by walking around. And I had plenty of time to get onto the bus. So I knew that, you know, time wasn't an issue. I figured I could find out where I needed to go, use the bathroom, and then I'd be all set. So I found the help desk that I needed to find, and they told me where everything was, where the bathroom was, where the gate was that I'd be leaving from. And so I went and I found my way to the bathroom. I went in and came out and found my way to what I thought was the New York City gate, which it was. And, you know, I showed my person the ticket and she said, okay, well, I'll make sure you get on first. And I said, okay, that'd be great. Got on the bus, no problem. Again, no trouble going into the city. The bus wasn't completely full, which I was kind of surprised. It was pretty full, but I didn't have anyone sitting next to me. So that part was good because I had my backpack on me. And again, if you travel with a white cane, it's always good to have a spare because you never know when something happens. And, you know, again, if you're out and about and something happens to your white cane and you don't have a spare, it's going to be really difficult for you to navigate wherever you're going. And so I always have a fold-up cane in my backpack, and that is the main reason for bringing a backpack. That and some battery chargers for my phone, and obviously some little snack or something just in case. And so when I got to New York City, I knew that once I found my way to the exit, I knew the exit that I needed to take to get to where I wanted to go, which was I wanted to get to the exit that was on 8th Avenue, because I knew if I went out to 8th Avenue, I'd make a left out the door, walk down a couple of blocks, and then walk down about 3 or 4 blocks down to 5th, and I'd be right at the corner where the library is. And that's basically what I did. I was able to, again, find a help desk there where I knew that I could hear the doors opening and closing. And I asked the gentleman who was in the booth, I said, you know, I need to get to the public library. Is the doors behind me, are they the ones that are on 8th? And he said, yes. And I said, okay, great, thanks. And again, so I exited there. Walked about a block and a half and then hung a right and walked all the way down. And I was walking for quite a while on, I believe it was 41st Street, might have been 42nd. so as I was walking, I had stopped at one point and somebody asked me if they could help me. And it was a guy who was handing out flyers for either day trips around New York, I don't remember, or tickets to a show or something like that. So he came over to me and said, you know, do you need help? And I said, well, I said, right in front of me is this, I think it was 6th Avenue. I said, is this 6th Avenue? And he said, yes. And I asked again what the side street was. And again, I think it was 41st or 42nd Street. And he said, well, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the public library. And I said, if this is 6th, I know it's the next block down, right? And he said, yeah. And so I made my way down there. Now, the great thing about that was I got there, but the next issue I had was finding my way in. And I had plenty of time before the event started, because I think the event started at 12:30 and I was there probably at quarter to 12 or a little before 12. So I had plenty of time to figure out where I was going and how I was going to get in. And so I took a couple of pictures of what I thought was the front of the library. And they had a fountain there, so I took some pictures of that. And I actually have a couple of good ones, which I was kind of surprised. And I even did a selfie, and it was in the sun. It was, you know, the sun was very warm on my face. And it was just nice to sit outside for a while after being on the bus on the way in, you know, for a couple of hours. So after sitting there for a while, I kind of realized where I needed to go up the stairs. And Again, going back to the day after tomorrow, it's where the kids ran up just before the wall of water came down Fifth Ave and took out the buses and cars and anything else that were sitting in the streets and the people. And so I made my way in, and once I got in, you know, there was a checkpoint where they have to search your bags. And again, just like several other places, no one looked inside my backpack. And that kind of concerns me, because at some point, either somebody that is visually impaired is going to be a terrorist, or somebody pretending to be visually impaired is going to be a terrorist. And, you know, go for that sympathy and, oh, this guy's not going to do anything. It's kind of like the Bugs Bunny episode and the people saying, oh, it's just a rabbit, he can't do anything. And then he goes and steals all the locks off the Panama Canal and cuts Florida free and all that sort of stuff. So please, you know, some of us could be bad too, I guess. Take a look inside the backpack just in case. I just had battery chargers, a spare white cane, and some candy and things like that. But somebody else might have more evil things. And I guess candy could be considered evil. Anyway, I made my way in and I asked the gentleman who was checking everybody. I asked him where I needed to go, and he told me, oh, just go here to the right and walk down, and then you'll have to walk to the left down a hallway and down some stairs. And I said, okay. Well, he didn't tell me it was a slight right. I made a hard right, and I walked into what I guess was a cafe or some sort of eating place there inside the New York Public Library. And after I made my way through several tables, I realized this wasn't the right way, and I made my way back out and continued further down. And I was able to find my way down, and I found the stairs, and I got down the stairs, and I got there a little bit early. And somebody who was working the event came over to me and asked if I was there for the event, and I told them yes. And I was glad I went to this event. I went for a couple of main reasons. One was there was a workshop on, you know, if you're looking for a job, what to do, what not to do. And while I'm always looking for something else to do, I did it because of the mindset that I need to get, which I don't know that I completely have, but I'll touch on that in another episode as far as the positive mental thoughts you have to have, and that you can do something. And that's why I keep pushing myself to do certain things, even though it's outside my comfort zone. And to stay independent, you have to go outside your comfort zone pretty often. So that was one of the events. The other event was a thing that was put on by the Museum of Modern Art, and it was drawing, which I drew a picture of myself, which, you know, the person had told me how to draw. Here's what I want you to do. And she said, you know, keep the pencil on the paper and just feel your head and your shoulders, and I want you to draw it. And I will put up a picture. I took a picture of it with my phone later once I got home. And yeah, I'm not going to be an artist. So I did that, and that was one of the things that I really wanted to do. I saw that they were there, and they have other workshops for visually impaired and blind folks. And talking to Harriet, who is the president of the Keystone chapter of the National Federation of the Blind, we may try to do something and go up to one of the workshops that they do once the weather breaks in the spring, late spring or early summer. And I think that would be awesome for, you know, to go with some friends who are in the same boat as me and take part in whatever program they're offering there at the Museum of Modern Art, because I think that would be fun. That is one thing that I have always liked to do, whether it's create graphics, and I still try, and you'll see a lot of graphics and logos and things that I've actually done, even with little vision and you know, looking at art and things like that. If you look around our apartment, we've got a lot of paintings and pictures and whatnot that I've always enjoyed collecting and looking at. And even with my limited vision, even to this day, you know, with the little vision that I have going on Instagram, when I can make out what I'm looking at, it's great. You know, Facebook, same way. The trouble with Facebook, sometimes somebody will put a picture up and it will be a bunch of people, and I don't know if my friend is included in that you know, the person who posted it. I don't know if they're in there. So I sometimes hesitate to click on that. But before I get sidetracked on social media, which I'll do a show on that in the future, and how I deal with social media and how folks with vision loss or no vision whatsoever deal with social media. There was also some vendors at the event at the New York Public Library. Again, Museum of Modern Art was one, talking about some other programs that they offer. There was a transportation museum booth set up there, which was very cool, which I'd love to do. And one day I may do, where they you get actually to walk on subway tracks and stuff like that. And it sounded messy and dirty, but it's at some point I'll probably give it a try. It's in Brooklyn at some sort of transportation museum that the MTA does. And so they also offered a tour of the public library, which I was excited for. But because the group was probably around 10 or 15 people, some of the folks had guide dogs. Obviously, we all used canes or were there with somebody who was guiding us around. The tour only basically covered two floors. It didn't cover the floor where in Day After Tomorrow they found the tax code and law books that they burned to stay warm, you know, once the temperature dropped to some sort of crazy thing in the movie. So at some point in time, I'll go back to that and see if I can get up there and at least take a picture up there for Instagram or Twitter or whatnot. And but the tour was interesting. I didn't realize that the library is a research library, not a library that you think of traditionally, where you go in, you see a book, you borrow a book, and they check you out at the desk, and you go. This type of library is you see what you need, you go up to the desk, and you say, here's the book I want or books that I want, and they go and they get them for you. And actually, it sounded very cool. The books are actually stored underground under Bryant Park, which is where the Winter Festival is, right next door. And there's a sort of trolley system set up where the person puts it in a bin, and then it comes to the front desk, and then somebody brings it from there downstairs at the desk up to where you are at another desk. And you then look at the book and go through the book there in the library. You don't take it away. But the library is very interesting, and you know, they pointed out different types of marble that was used throughout the library, and different sections of the library. There's a big periodical section, again, where you can go and look at the periodical there at the library, but you don't take it away. And it was a very interesting day that I had there, and I was so happy that I did it on my own. And I got done at probably around 4 or 5 o'clock, and then Jane and her friend Haley came over, and we walked around the Winter Festival and looked at different things in there, and that was very cool. And then went and had dinner, and Jane and Haley walked over with me to Port Authority because they had to take the subway back down to school. So we all walked over there. And that was one thing that I'm not 100% sure it would have been easy for me to find it on my own. Again, I knew how to go, you know, but at this point it was after hours, so the streets were much busier as far as foot traffic. Car traffic, I think, was probably about the same, but the foot traffic is what is trouble for me, obviously, because I'm sweeping back and forth with my cane, and, you know, I start whacking a lot of people in the ankles, and some people get mad when I hit them. And you know, again, if you walk with a white cane, I'm sure you've gotten some people say things to you, or, you know, stop or whatever when you're walking around. And, you know, that's just the nature of the beast. When you can't see, you need to use that. And rather to tap you on the ankle with your cane than to run into you and knock you down. So I had a great day in New York that day. And I again, was really happy that I did it on my own. So the next thing that I want to try is another city, maybe one that I'm not as familiar with. You know, New York City, you know, we go to pretty often because Jane does go to school there down in Lower Manhattan at Pace University. So we're down there in that section of town a lot, and some other sections too. You know, there's One of the things that I really would have liked to have done, if Jane hadn't done Jimmy Fallon that day, we would have probably made our way over to La Derée, which is a cafe on West Broadway that I absolutely love. They have those macarons, which are those basically like a sandwich cookie that are just outstanding, but it's also a nice place to eat. And we actually had lunch there over the summer, one of the times we were in New York. And, you know, we're in New York City probably once or twice a month, either picking Jane up, dropping her off, or visiting Jane. You know, we were there. I was there twice in November, actually three times in November, and once already in December, and we go soon to pick her up for her winter break just before Christmas. So again, I was so happy and proud of myself that I was able to do that. And hopefully coming up in the future, I'll go to another city on my own. At the end of January, there's an event in Washington, D.C. called Washington Seminar that the NFB takes part in. And I was thinking about going to that. So if I go to that, maybe I'll extend for a day and see if I can make my way around Washington, D.C. and see how that goes. And then one day I'd like to get on a plane and go somewhere and see how that all works out. Don't know what city it would be, but it will be one where there's a cheap flight, I'm guessing. And maybe one day even international. And I know it's about a year ago we were in London, and I would certainly love to try to go somewhere on my own internationally. I think that would be much more difficult because of all the security and customs and things like that, as well as thinking about London specifically, you know, the cars coming from a different direction and trying to figure all that out. So that certainly would be a challenge. But, you know, as it goes, it would give me at least a podcast episode. And my goal in 2019 is to not only continue with this podcast, but to start on YouTube and document when I go to these places and do things like this. So I do appreciate you listening to episode 6 of the I Can't See You podcast. And if you would, a rating and a review would be great. And remember, connect with me on social media. I am David. I am at David Benj. And Twitter is my social of choice. So start there. And I will talk to you at the next episode. Thanks again for listening.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast. Follow David on Twitter. He is at David Benj.